The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
First and third, one out, and the pitch, and a fastball swung on. Line to left center field. It's going to be down for a base hit. It ricochets off Taylor, over to Peterson and left. In to score on the play is Reddick. Stopping at second is Springer, because he wasn't sure if Taylor would catch the ball, and it'll go as an RBI single for Bregman to give the Astros a 1-0 lead. 2-1 on the way from Verlander, and a swing and a high fly ball, right center field, back to the wall, gone! Jock Peterson takes Justin Verlander out and ties the game. And the 1-2, a swing and a fly ball, pretty well hit. To left field, Gonzalez is back, running out of room, and she's gone. Corey Seager with an opposite field two-run homer, and the Dodgers have a 3-1 lead. The 1-0, there's a swing and a ground ball over the mound, and this is going to get into center field for a base hit. Correa hits one, not that hard, but right up the middle into center for a base hit. In to score is Bregman, and it's now 3-2. Now they're in tune. And the 0-2, and a swing and a fly ball to left center field. It's hit pretty well. It is gone! Marwin Gonzalez with a drive to left center. Homers off Jansen here in the top of the ninth, and the Astros have tied the game. Center field. The set and the 2-0, and a swing and a ball well hit. Deep left center field. Altuve with a home run. Now here's another one. Correa hits one a mile to left into the seats. Tosses the bat way high up into the air towards his teammates over by the dugout. He launched it and he knew it. Two balls and a strike. And the pitch. And a swing and a ball hit like a rocket to left field and way back into the seats. Puig with a home run. And it's 5-4. A look back. And the pitch, and a swing, and a base hit into right field. Forsyth around third, coming home. Reddick's throw to the plate is not in time. The 2-1 to Springer, and a swing and a ball well hit to right center field. Hernandez giving chase, not going to get there. And it is gone. It carried right over the fence in right center. Springer with a home run. And the Astros take the lead yet again. It is 7-5 here in the 11th. Levinsky winds and works, swing and a miss, he got him. And the Astros win it in one of the craziest games you will ever see or hear or be a part of. They win it 7-6, and they even up the World Series at a win apiece, heading back to Houston Friday night.
Well, that was an awful lot of highlights, a lot to get to on that game. So let's just do it. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model.
Hello, Fred.
John Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. It's 713-780-3776. And, wow. That's all I got to say about that game last night. That was just amazing.
Just wow, huh?
Amazing.
And that was a fun game, man.
And if they go on and win the series, that's going to be one of those. This will be the game you remember from it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, without a doubt, because the whole thing easily could have turned on. So many moments, and it was so exciting, and I'm working on 2 hours sleep. So God knows how I'm going to sound today.
We'll make it through.
Yeah, because I posted the article last night after the game, and there was problems with the picture. And I sat there and stared at it for 4 hours trying to fix it. And then finally decided, oh, this is all I need to do. I'm like an idiot. And then I came in and did a couple of TV hits with Nate this morning at 7 and 8. That was fun. And plan was to get a nap, but It didn't really work. So
okay.
I'm here and ready to rock and roll. I just downed an entire energy drink, so I may pull a Hoffman and burp on air.
Okay.
But I'm ready to go. Let's rock and roll. Let's talk about this thing, man. I think this is one of the – and there's the instant overreaction to everything is, oh, this is one of the best this ever. This is one of the best that's ever. And I hate when they do that. I remember Mike and Mike doing that with the Masters 1 year, and I don't even remember who won. There's, oh, this could be one of the great sports moments ever. No, no, it was just a freaking golf tournament. This is one of the best moments in Houston sports history.
That was the best Astros World Series game ever.
Yeah, there's no question there. Definitely the best Astros World Series
but
game.
But, I mean, it was a fun game. It was dramatic. I would imagine if, you know, if you're a Dodgers fan, up until the end, you were having fun too. I mean, it was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it's one of those that I still would have felt the same way if the Astros had somehow lost. It was just a great competitive fun game, and you saw so many great performances. There's so many guys too. It's real easy to talk about, you know, Altuve and Correa and Springer, who, by the way, as streaky as Springer is, if he's about to get on a hot streak, that really bodes well for the Astros. Yeah. But a guy like Will Harris with a runner on third and one out. And he gets out of that inning. Of course, he almost threw the ball into center field and hits the umpire. But, you know, I think that's there were just so many. And Justin Verlander was terrific. I mean, he made two mistakes, two balls that barely cleared the fence. Two hits is all he gave up. And you kind of forget he even pitched because that game went on for so long.
Well, I said after game one and really at the beginning of the series, if the Astros don't win both times that Justin Verlander's on the mound, they cannot win this series. And it was really close to slipping away from them last night. And had they lost that game, I think the series is over. You know, I really don't think they come back from that.
I said that yesterday, and because you would have lost both Keuchel and Verlander.
You can't afford that.
And, yeah, it just seemed like it would have been
I've said all along, the nights that Justin Verlander pitches – are the only nights in this series where the Astros have a starting pitching edge, and really a pitching edge, because the Dodgers' bullpen is better than theirs, which we'll get into the freaking Astros' bullpen here shortly.
Yeah, that's the two positive. I take one positive thing out of this. Like I mentioned,
what's the positive thing?
The positive is if Springer is about to go on a hot streak, this team's going to score a bunch of runs this weekend. The negative is I'm still very concerned about this bullpen.
There is not.
You can't.
There's pitch. Not one man I trust in a high leverage situation out of that bullpen.
I trust Giles for one inning. I don't trust him for more than that. You can't.
I don't
pitch
even really trust him for that. He's not good. Why is everyone so? Because he throws hard. Everyone's convinced he's a closer. He's not that. He hangs sliders. He's a nice setup man. He's a good.
He's the best of what they have.
He
AJ.
Is the best of what they
so,
have. I'll give you that. But.
So. I mean, to say he's a setup man is fine, but that's what their closer is.
This is a bullpen full of seventh-inning guys, and I never had a problem with it because I'm a big believer in if you're a bad team, there's no point in going out and spending a bunch of money on a closer. But now the Astros are a good enough team. This offseason, that's got to be a priority for them.
I think it will be.
And Wade Davis is available. Go out there, throw a big pile of money at Wade Davis. Bring him in here. And let him handle ninth inning and quit making it a sweat every time you put that guy on the mound.
I was fine with Giles pitching one inning. I don't want to see him pitching two innings. It's just not his strength. And I think you're asking too much out of him. Just like I don't think Jensen should have gone two innings either.
Well, the Dodgers sort of didn't have as much of an option as the Astros did because I think Dave Roberts mismanaged that bullpen all night. And I don't want to say that he was wrong to throw Jansen a second inning at that point because he'd burned up everything else.
Yeah.
The Astros hadn't burned up everything yet. You know, there was still Davinsky, there was still Peacock, there was still Gregerson. Not that I was crazy about seeing any of those guys.
But at least you know that if those guys are on, they're going to get you an inning.
Right. But the way that after they pulled Rich Hill – and Rich Hill, understandably upset that he got pulled. You know, nobody wants to leave a World Series game, and he hadn't pitched poorly. He hadn't pitched great. He was hittable, but he was getting out of jams.
Yeah.
So I understood why he wanted to stay in. But when they bring out Watson, Watson gets one pitch.
Yeah.
One pitch. Got a double play out of it. Pretty awesome. But – That's the only batter he faced. Next guy comes in, Stripling. Four pitches, a walk, he's out. Faces one batter. You just burn two arms
on two batters.
On five pitches.
Yeah, basically two batters.
Five pitches, two batters, gone. This is the other thing for the Dodgers. When you've got Brandon Morrow, who's is about as good as you can get in the eighth inning, it seemed weird to bring him in early. And when he had, I guess you could say he struggled. He gave up a run, but to just say, okay, well, we're going to put the whole eighth and ninth on Jansen, I thought was odd. I would have let Morrow start the eighth, and because Morrow's pitched two innings. Morrow's a converted starter. He's pitched more than one inning most of his career. If anybody was equipped to go two innings, it was him. I figured, let him start the inning, see where it goes, and then if there's trouble, bring in Jansen. But they didn't. And then Josh Fields comes in after Jansen, and he basically gives away the game. But Josh Fields, another guy. I mean, six pitches.
he's a guy that if he's in the game, you're either way down or way up. He's not supposed to be pitching in that situation. He's just not good enough. And McCarthy hadn't pitched since what?
He hadn't pitched a lot. Yeah. No, and he looked rusty. That was another interesting. And obviously the hitting situation has something to do with it. But Cingrani looked so good in his inning.
Yeah,
you know they would have loved to have him back out there. But then it gets up to that spot in the batting order, and you got to make a change. So I think that Dave Roberts mismanaged the bullpen. I think that he could have let if you were going to pull Rich Hill early, which he did, you let Maeda go 2-3 innings. And it's not like he looked like he didn't look rough. He gave up one hit.
Yeah.
And that was it. He could have kept going.
That's, that one I was a little surprised too. But the reality is, and I was listening to, I was watching MLB Network a lot today because I was just kind of curious what everybody was saying. And they brought up a great point about Hill. He had the lowest batting average in the league against the third time through the lineup. But this was the Dodgers' plan all along, was they didn't want to go through the lineup three times. So you can make a case either way and say, okay, this was the plan. They knew it. But on the other hand, he was pitching well enough. I don't think – although I guess you weren't thinking at some point you're going to wind up going 11 innings either. But, I don't know. I think I feel strongly both ways about it. I think they obviously have a plan that's worked, and they knew this was going to be a bullpen game. But then it was very strange how he handled the bullpen. But also, I got one beef real quick. And then we'll take some phone calls on the other side at 713-780-3776. People always talk about why they don't watch ESPN anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I flip over there this morning because I want to, I'm trying to see highlights and I want to hear commentary. And they got some girl on there talking about, and she was interviewing, I don't know who it was. It's one of the old school ESPN people. And she's like, well, I'm such a Dodgers fan and I'm so disappointed in all this. And I'm going on and on about being a Dodgers fan. It's like, man, I want to hear some commentary from somebody here. And so I flipped over to MLB Network and watched that for a couple hours, and it was good stuff. They did a good job. And you wonder why nobody's watching you. Just saying. I mean, who from Houston or who anywhere wants to hear about, oh, you were so disappointed that you so weak didn't hit a home run on the last at-bat?
Yeah.
I will not watch that again. All right, guys. Hey, you want to get in on some action? There's some football tonight. There's a bunch of hockey tonight. There's all kinds of stuff going on. You want to get your gamble on. MyBookie.ag is the place to go. Industry-leading sports book. They hook you up for all your betting needs. NFL, college football, hockey, horse racing. MyBookie has the best odds and action for players big and small. And how about this? You want to test your luck in a casino? MyBookie puts instant blackjack, roulette, and Vegas-style slots in the palm of your hand. They've even got beautiful live dealers dealing your cards in real time, and who doesn't like that? And I promise you, man, they're going to take care of you. If you're going to cash out, man, no hassle payouts, which is a big, big deal. And when you deposit, you can score even more. Just call 844-900-2387 or sign up online using promo code FRED. You can also sign up online right from your phone. Just visit mybookie.ag today. Bet with the biggest, bet with the best, only at MyBookie. That big win, MyBookie's going to make sure you're covered with the fastest online payouts in the business. Call my bookie now at 844-900-2387. Mention promo code FRED. They're going to throw in an extra 50% on your deposit. That's mybookie.ag, my bookie.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Raising Cane's, the finest chicken fingers in all the land. They serve only fresh, never frozen premium chicken tenderloins that have been marinated for 24 hours. They're hand battered. They're cooked to order. There's no heat lamps at Raising Cane's, keeping your food warm. They don't cook it until you order it. And not only are the chicken fingers fantastic, they've got the great sides with the crinkle cut fries, the crazy good cane sauce made in-house every day by this, with the secret recipe. And if you've got an event, you need to feed a lot of people, no problem. Raising Cane's tailgate's perfect for any event. They'll cook 25 to 100 or more chicken fingers ready in minutes after you order. This is a company that's active in the community, in every market that they serve, not just Houston. But these are good people. And right now they've got two new locations going in. November 14th at Fry Road and Park Row in Katy, and 2920 in Kirkendall up in Spring. And if you're one of the first 20 customers on opening day, you'll receive a free Cane's for a Year gift card. How cool is that? Raising Cane's, 28 locations in the Houston area. Visit RaisingCane's.com to find the one nearest you. Raising Cane's, one love.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman from The Blitz. BetDSI is one of the internet's top sports books. Don't ask me, just check out the sportsbook review sites. They are rated A+. They've got an impeccable reputation, fantastic features, easy deposits, and speedy withdrawals with pretty much every bet type imaginable. Go to BetDSI.com right now. Use my promo code BLITZ25 to get a $25 free wager just for registering. You can bet parlays, teasers, straight bets, futures. BetDSI.com offers lines on nearly every sporting event you would want to bet. Nothing makes watching football games better than wagering while the action is live. BetDSI offers live betting and prop bets while games are in progress. But they aren't just a world-class sports book. BetDSI has a fantastic online casino and racebook. You can bring Vegas right to your living room or take it on the go with your mobile device. If you ever get bored of betting on ball games, there are plenty of other ways to get some action at BetDSI. You can find odds on politics, reality TV, and pretty much everything else. If you're looking for a different online sportsbook, you've come to the right place. Over 20 years paying winners. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. If you decide to deposit, you'll get a 200% bonus match on your money right now. Play on the go with their easy-to-use mobile interface. Once again, go to BetDSI.com, use promo code BLITZ25, and get a free $25 wager on the house and 200% extra bonus when you deposit. That's BLITZ25 to get your free wager and start winning today.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I'm a little confused about something you said last segment about Bring Morrow out for the eighth. He did start the eighth. That's where Bregman got a hit. And that's
oh,
when
you're
he
right.
Out. Yeah.
You're right.
So,
well, but how about that then? How about give him more than one hit? I mean, don't panic and freak out and pull him out of there. I mean, this is a guy who's been solid for you all year long.
Yeah, well, that's all these guys have pulled the plug on pitchers in the playoffs.
2.06 ERA this season for Brandon Morrow. He gives up a leadoff hit, and you're like, okay, that's it. See ya. Okay.
Well, he'd already pitched an inning, too.
Yeah. So.
I honestly, to me, it didn't really matter. When the Astros are swinging the bats like this, I don't care if you're. I don't care who you are. I mean, they got the Chapman last series. They even got the Kimbrell.
Yeah.
I mean, they will get to whomever if they're hitting the ball well. And you know, I thought it was fun to watch, man. And yeah, I would have liked. I the only thing I'll criticize Hinch for, and yes, I've seen the bar fight story. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. That everybody keeps.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Sending in, but I didn't like seeing Giles out there for a second inning, and I just think he's proven that you get an inning out of him, you've done well, and. Yeah, not that I wanted to see Gregerson,
right?
But I thought it was pushing it a little bit for him to stay out there.
Is it me or is your best reliever pitching game three? Like, I feel like Lance McCullers you could use as a good setup or a closer.
Well, the problem is they don't. If they had the rotation depth that the Dodgers had,
yeah,
they could do that. And honestly, I don't think it's the worst. Like, based on what we've seen with McCullers from an injury standpoint the last couple years.
Well, and he's good at short stretches.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea maybe this offseason if you don't go out and...
Go out and get another starter.
Close. Yeah, if you go get a starter,
yeah.
Maybe work on making Lance McCullers a closer. Because Lance McCullers has that kind of stuff. He's got ninth inning stuff. And maybe then it takes some strain off of his body. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. But right now, they don't have the luxury of thinking that way. They don't have, you know, the Dodgers can pull out Kenta Maeda, who's that's a rotation guy for probably 28 teams in this league, maybe 29 teams in this league, and he's in the bullpen. The Astros don't have that luxury. They need their best guys to start, and Lance McCullers has to start.
Squeeze in some calls. Will, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, guys. This is William. How are y'all?
Hey, now. We're doing sports.
Two questions for you real quick. I thought it was going to get really crazy if they would have tied it in the 11th and it had gone to 12. And I was wondering, first question, if they or we had any pitchers left. And if not, what do we do in that situation? Do we bring in an infielder to pitch, like Correa, or what happens?
No.
If we run out?
The Astros had pitchers left. Yeah. They had Peacock left. They had Gregerson left. They had Sip left, if it came to it. The Dodgers did not.
Yeah.
Brandon McCarthy was their last guy, but Brandon McCarthy's a starter, and Brandon McCarthy was ready. If he had to, Brandon McCarthy was going to go 5-6 innings. And if it came to it after that, then... Yeah, they would have.
They probably would have had to bring in Alex Wood and start somebody else in game four.
That's a possibility. Well, and it'd probably be Kenta Maeda, who just pitched an inning tonight.
Right.
So,
right. So that I would have guessed that's what they would have done. But you're not pitching infielders in the playoffs.
No.
You'll use every starter in your rotation if you have to in a World Series. The Astros had plenty of guys left. But it didn't get tied up. So, big win. Paul, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, how's it going? I just have a question. Do you think we have to win all three in Houston to be able to win this thing? And if it comes to game five in Houston, do we start Verlander or do we let him rest?
No, I don't think you have to win all three. I think you need to win two. Because, again, if you're the Astros, you should be of the mindset that game six, when Justin Verlander pitches again, and you pitch him on normal rest.
Yeah,
I'm not rushing him out there. He's giving you everything he's got. You need to let that guy get right before he goes out and throws. But
Keuchel, I wouldn't mind seeing on a shorter rest because I think the way he pitches,
he didn't throw as hard. But
Verlander,
that's not going to be the case though, because Keuchel's not going to pitch on, you know, Saturday,
right?
So he'll pitch Sunday, and then you'll see Verlander on Tuesday. But if you're the Astros, you have to assume that you're going to win game six when Verlander starts. So if you win two at home, you're still in good shape.
Yeah, that's all along I've thought their path was split. Take two out of three here, and then you'll have two shots to win one in L.A. Yeah. And
including a Verlander start.
Including a Verlander start. And I think if you do that, then you've got to win two out of three here, though.
You think they win two out of three here?
Yeah, I think they do. I think that the Dodgers are going to have an edge pitching-wise, but I think these guys are coming back confident, and I think the bats are about to wake up in a big way, and they're going to need to. But I suspect you'll see a Kershaw start in here, and that's the one that I would think you'd probably lose. But,
that'll be game five.
Well, if you're the Dodgers and you go down 2-1, do you bring him back on short rest? That certainly turns.
If you're who now?
If you're the Dodgers.
If you're the Dodgers, you're down 2-1.
Yeah.
No.
I'd think about it. Then you'd have him for a game seven. You got to beat him three times.
This is where that's the mindset that's gotten Clayton Kershaw the playoff Clayton Kershaw moniker, because everybody's like, let's get him back out there, and then he can't pitch well on short.
But
rest.
He never pitched well on his opening rest either. That's why he went back out there. He pitched like three or four innings and sucked.
Yeah, I'm
when he's pitching well, man, I'm using the guy.
For me, they have
because the whole playoff Kershaw thing happened because he was pitching poorly, and then they ran him back out there, and he kept pitching poorly. He's pitching great right now. I throw that guy.
Not me. The Dodgers team is built around rotation depth. That's why they went and traded for Yu Darvish, so they wouldn't have to pitch guys like Clayton Kershaw on short notice. And it was like, well, why'd the Dodgers go get a pitcher? They didn't need one, and that's why, because they've got other guys they feel confident in. And they should feel confident guys like you, Darvish and Alex Wood. And specifically because Yu Darvish and Alex Wood have both pitched well against Houston. And I, for some reason, all the Astros fans are like, oh, we get to Yu Darvish. I don't know where that has come from.
Yeah, it's funny. I heard somebody on MLB Network called in and said the same thing. And no, he's like, what, 6-1? It's six starts at Minute Maid Park. I think he's 4-1.
He's 4-1 with a 2.16 ERA and six starts at Minute Maid. He's faced the Astros 14 times. He's 5-5, the record, but a 3.44 earned run average.
He got beat up one time this year, I think.
118-65 strikeout to walk ratio against the Astros in his career. The Astros have hit 139 against Darvish in Minute Maid. And Rich Hill, 3-1 against Houston with a 2.68 ERA in 10 games, including, I mean, didn't Yu Darvish like come within outs of pitching a no hitter here?
He had a one hit, seven inning, one run.
Okay,
game.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I don't know where people got that idea. Let's go to our buddy Raheel, who's out at Academy.
Raheel, we're trying to do a show. What do you want? Okay, Raheel. Keyboard cat Raheel.
Yeah, we're gonna keyboard cat Raheel.
Hey, can you hear me? I'm sorry about that.
Hey, what's going on? Did you have us muted?
No, dude, it's going crazy here. I didn't have it muted. I was just walking in and out, and man, it is awesome here. Of course, you guys are talking about it. It is Astros Mania right now here in Houston. It's been quite the season, earning history in the World Series. The celebration continues at Academy Sports and Outdoors with all the Astros gear you need to show your true team colors. From the first pitch to the final out, Academy has you covered on all your official Houston Astros World Series apparel. We stock every day. I was talking to Chris in here, and as soon as they come off the printer, they're coming right here to the stores, so they will have everything in stock. Come on down, man. You're going to pick up all the great gear on your way home. Stop by. We're registering for a lot of great prizes. And also, if you come here, I'm at the Southwest Freeway location right off of Kirby. You spin Academy Southwest Freeway. You come by and you yell, hey, Raheel, every 30 minutes, I'm giving away an Academy Sports and Outdoors card. That's right. All you have to do is say, hey, Raheel, all right, and make it like really, hey, Raheel, you really want to do that. Come on down to Academy, pick up all your ALCS gear, pick up some shirts, and the energy is amazing here. It's Academy Sports and Outdoors. Go to academy.com.
All right, thanks. We'll talk to you again soon. You know, I don't want to say anything, but if Raheel were just a caller, he would have gotten keyboard catted, not just for not being there, but
then
also
he was like
for,
not conversational. He was just reading something, and then he hung up.
And his phone sounded like this the entire time.
Yeah, he's got a terrible phone connection. Yeah.
And he said ALCS. At the end, he said ALCS.
Let Raheel know to step his game up next time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really poor.
We got to have better than that. Better like the Rockets.
Yes. And guess what, Fred? The Rockets, they're coming back home. I know you're saying, man, I miss the Rockets. And they had a fantastic finish last night in Philadelphia. Well, guess who you're going to see them play next? Philadelphia, Monday night at home. The Philadelphia 76ers and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, who, man, Joel Embiid looks like such a fun player. I mean, he's turning into a real player. You're going to get to see him. You're going to get to see James Harden. You're going to get to see Eric Gordon, who was the hero of the day yesterday. And they've got Mix and Match Monday ticket promotion going on by Mountain Dew. You purchase one all-inclusive ticket for as low as $25. You receive one free beer, water, or soda, one free popcorn, hot dog, or nachos, and one free T-shirt, koozie, or Rockets poster. And the first 5,000 of you who walk through that door will receive a Rockets schedule magnet presented by Mountain Dew. So make sure you get out to Toyota Center on Monday for James Harden and the Rockets versus Ben Simmons and the 76ers. It's going to be a great game. Go to Rockets.com to get your tickets today. Let's run as one with the Rockets. That's Rockets.com to get your tickets now.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. We'll get back to the Astros talk in just a moment, but we interrupt the World Series discussion to talk a little fantasy football with our good friend Christopher Harris. He runs HarrisFootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at HarrisFootball. Christopher, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. So one guy I want to ask you about right off the bat, and I know you have him number two on your quarterback rankings this week, and part of that's because of who they're playing, but All right, you've seen a lot of film on this guy. Are you a believer in Carson Wentz that he's actually elevated his game to where he's a really good fantasy starting quarterback now?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe he's even a better fantasy quarterback than he is a real-life quarterback because just really like guys who throw the ball down the field. And that's been the one consistent change from this year compared to last is that Eagle offense, which, you know, you think of it as being an Andy Reid offense, Doug Peterson being an offshoot of Andy Reid and pure West Coast and sort of Alex Smith, dinkity-dunkity. And not only is Alex Smith going down the field a little bit more, but Carson Wentz way more so. And without a great receiving core, really, they just sort of philosophically have decided, let's take advantage of Wentz having the ability to keep his eyes down the field even when there's chaos going on around him and finding guys as they break sort of later in routes. And it's consistently been terrific. So, I mean, it's not always going to be like under 300 yards and then four or five touchdowns every week. That's a little unrealistic. But, yeah, I think he belongs in the echelon of top 10 fantasy quarterbacks. I'm probably not quite there as a top 10 real life quarterback yet, but he's good. I did think he was better than he showed in the second half of last year for sure.
How has Russell Wilson been such a good fantasy quarterback in spite of the fact that there's really no weapons for around him? Is it almost helping that there's no other good players on his team?
Well, I think Doug Baldwin's a pretty good player. But yeah, I mean, so what they have in the receiving core is a bunch of little guys now because there's no Jermaine Kearse anymore and a lot of speed. I mean, all three guys are really fast and then Baldwin's really quick and Lockett is really quick and that works. I mean, you know, Jimmy Graham is tall, but he hasn't been a huge factor. With Wilson, to me, it comes down to the good and the bad. I mean, he doesn't really scramble as much for like positive yardage, but he's still tries to keep every play alive over and over. He extends and extends and extends. And that really helps out a receiving core and makes them maybe look a little bit better than we think they actually are. Also, though, that's sort of a double-edged sword in that Wilson is known for running into sacks, you know, seeing ghosts and turning the wrong way and getting sacked. Just in the end, it does seem like sort of he clutches his way through, and it's a challenge. I mean, Houston going in there is, you know, clearly missing two of the three pass rushers. It's going to be a challenge for sure.
Well, what do you make of what are you doing with the Texans players that you've normally been starting? Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Lamar Miller. What do you do with those guys going up to Seattle?
You know, for the purposes of DFS, I don't really like any of them. If I had a choice to get away from them, I probably would, you know, in a DraftKings type situation. But in season long, it's going to be tough for me to get away from Hopkins for sure. Just feels like there's going to be volume there. And we all always talk about Richard Sherman, but he plays sides. I mean, he's played the defensive left side, I think, all but a handful of snaps this year. And if you have to get Hopkins away from there, that's, honestly, like Hopkins lines up left offensive side more often than not. So I think he'll be able to get away from him. Volume-wise, it'll be all right. I think you'll get something out of him. And then Watson, I he wouldn't be rated as lowly against a different opponent as he is this week. I like him, probably don't love him as much as the numbers would say. I've been saying this to you for a couple of weeks now. And maybe Fuller's the one that I feel a little more conflicted about because the volume is low, and if he's not scoring a touchdown, it does feel like he's less worth starting. And Lamar Miller, you know, I'd love to sit him, but unfortunately, if I sit him, then I have to play like Jalen Richard or something, in which case I'll just play Lamar Miller.
What's a defense maybe that is not owned by most teams that's sitting around that you could pick up for a week as these bye weeks start to kick in, particularly now that we're getting more than two teams on bye week? Who are some teams that defensively might just be sitting around that can help?
I think the first one is the Bengals because they get the Colts at home, and they were owned in fewer than one-third of Yahoo leagues as of the beginning of this week. That's probably gone up just because people looked at the schedule and went, oh, okay, maybe I'll take the Bengals. Plus, I think they have the advantage of not just being a streamer, but actually being fairly good on defense. New Orleans is not fully and thoroughly owned against Trubisky at home. I think that's fine. You go New Orleans just fine. I don't mind Miami tonight, actually, at Baltimore. Baltimore's a little more owned than Miami, but I think in general I sort of am looking at the under. I'm sort of looking at what we think of as the typical Thursday night slog, even though the past like few Thursdays have been kind of awesome. There's quite a lot of decently streamable defenses this week.
I want to know if I'm crazy, but I did this. I don't think I can ever point a finger at when I've done this before. My kicker came up for bye week this week, and I dropped a bench running back to pick up a kicker so I could hold on to my guy, Greg Zuerlein. Am I crazy for doing that, or do you look at kickers as always disposable properties?
I don't think you're crazy. It so depends on the league. Like, it depends on the quality of player you're having to cut. If you're cutting someone who you're like, well, he was a stash.
And I cut Wayne Gallman, to be honest.
Sure. So, like, who cares, right? Okay. I mean, okay, plus, okay. Is anyone going to add Wayne Gallman during his bye week?
I hope so.
So it's probably fine. I got to be honest. I'm trying to think if there's a league that I play in where we still use kickers. I think there's one. I do like a experts league with the CBS guys. They have like a IDP league that I'm in. And we still have to look at kickers. Every other league I'm in, we've gotten rid of them, which is what I would recommend everyone do, so you don't have to do silly stuff like having to worry about rostering kickers.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that. I've actually thought about that. That's a great idea. Maybe next year we'll just get rid of them.
I love having kickers. I love it.
What do you do if you've got a guy like Ben Roethlisberger who you were expecting a lot more production out of, and it looks like their offense is getting better, but it looks like it's because of Le'Veon Bell and not Big Ben, and if you drafted him, you probably don't have a backup that's worth a damn. Do you just have to ride that one out?
I think in most leagues, there's been someone. I mean, I think going into week 8, I'm hoping that most folks didn't go, well, it's been 7 weeks of Big Ben, I'm just going to tough it out. Like, it's been rough. After that 5-interception game at home, by the way, against Jacksonville, I would think that anybody who had Big Ben as their only fantasy quarterback was already casting around. But I think there are solutions. I think you should be streaming Josh McCown over Big Ben this week against Atlanta. I'm fine if you want to stream Tyrod Taylor at home against Oakland over Big Ben. I might even stream Case Keenum against the Browns because they're easier to throw against than they are to run against. I'm with you. I mean, maybe this isn't so much Roethlisberger playing terribly as the offense just not relying on him nearly as much. He's just not given a lot to do. For the podcast today, I looked at snap counts of the Steeler receivers. The past 2 weeks, Antonio Brown has run 24 routes each of the last two games, which is shocking. He's the best receiver in football. They just haven't needed him. They're just not running a ton of pass patterns. They're game flow dependent. I mean, that Jacksonville game, he ran like 55 because they're losing. But when the best receiver in the NFL can be taken out of the game plan because of the game flow, the scoreboard, that tells you the quarterback's probably not all that valuable.
That's Christopher Harris. He runs harrisfootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter at harrisfootball. And Christopher, tell all the people all the great things that you have on Harris Football for the folks who are new to the show.
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested in fantasy or the NFL, I would think you would like our podcast. It's on week daily. I actually do 6 podcasts every 5 days because I'm a glutton for punishment. And it's pretty fun. And if anybody's ever listened and heard the crazy songs that people do, you'll understand that it's a little bit different as far as fantasy podcasts go.
Hey, Chris, I had one more question before we let you go. If I'm looking for a handcuff to Leonard Fournette, do I want T.J. Yeldon now instead of Chris Ivory?
I don't know, honestly. Like, usage-wise from the Colts game last week, you would still say Ivory. He played way more snaps. Yeldon's yardage mostly came on a breakaway run for a touchdown. But they potentially look at that run and say, oh, Ivory's not doing that, so maybe we need to switch it up. If you're just going to base it on the way they use them in Week 7, though, it would still be Ivory.
All right.
All right, that's Christopher Harris. Christopher, appreciate the time as always, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Get back to the Astros now. 713-780-3776. Also have to tell you about Houston Can Academies. Terrific school. It takes in kids who have dropped out of other schools, and they give them a second chance. And a lot of these are students, they wanted to go to school, they just had to get jobs to support their family, or maybe they couldn't get to school. Well, Houston Can Academies works around that. They give them free bus passes. They work with them. And these kids go on and graduate and do great things, and that just makes us a better community. But more than ever, they need your help. And by your help, just a vehicle you're not using anymore. Doesn't matter what it is, car, truck, motorcycle, RV, tractor, four-wheeler, anything. You know, if just sitting out there in your yard or your field and you didn't know what to do with it, doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in, maybe it got flooded and you're thinking, I just need to get rid of this thing. Well, donate it, because they're going to tow it free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork. Your donation's tax deductible. It takes less than a minute to get online and fill out the form. and you're going to be doing a great thing. And if you donate today, how about this? $50 Visa gift card. Just their way of saying thank you. Give them a call right now. And if you can hear my voice on the radio, they'll come and tow it. 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Be the next Blitzer to make a difference. Or you can go to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Make sure you tell them you're a Blitzer. And right off the car, not the kid.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. One more series until your guys are the champs. Do you want to go to a game? We're picking a winner to see a game downtown and cheer on the home team.
What kind of game? Sports game?
A sports game. Like the, it involves, can I say, Todo El Mundo?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So basically just write our sister station's number 94.1 FM on your car truck window and go about your normal day. Then we'll send the secret window counter around town. And once they get to the 94th car with 94.1 FM on their window, we're awarding the winner with a pair of tickets. Make sure you write it big and bright. Orange would be a nice touch. Courtesy of the all-new Sports Map 94.1 FM. And as for Sports Map, the website, lots of good stuff on there today. So make sure you check that out, including my column saying this is one of the best sports moments in Houston's history. And that's saying a lot because I've lived through almost all of them. But, you know, we'll remember this game one way or another.
Yeah.
Even if they lose the series. I think it's going to be one of those we talk about. You know what cool thing about this game?
It's kind of like, I think it's maybe the coolest ending to a game involving a Houston sports team since Phi Slamma Jamma North Carolina State ending, right?
I know. Chris Burke's home run was pretty.
Yeah, no, the Chris Burke home run.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, he's just being a dickweed. Bleep you, Hoffman. Nobody cares about your damn opinion. what I liked about this game, besides the Astros won, it's always Houston teams, it seems like, are the ones who almost make the play. Yeah, they're the Puigs who almost get to the double.
Dude,
and you think, if you'd only get this. And last night, they were the ones who made the plays. And even Marwin's home run that just barely got out. Hey.
Almost all the Astros' home runs last night barely got out.
Correa's was pretty
good. Correa's was hammered.
Yeah.
But Altuve's barely got out. When guys in the front row.
Both of the homers off Verlander barely got out.
Yeah.
So,
No.
No, they did.
Corey Seager's did not barely get out.
No, Corey Seager's landed in that little gap right behind the fence.
Nope, the first one did. Not Corey Seager's.
Nope, because remember, he went opposite field with it. It looked like a pop-up off
the bat. I got to look at it again.
Yeah. No, that one didn't get out by much either.
Puig's is the one that got real far.
Yeah, that one got wrapped. That one. Got,
yeah, and tell me the truth. When Bellinger hit that ball off Ken Giles, did you think the game was over?
No, I really didn't. I really didn't. That's
the man
first.
Off the bat to me. It looked like that was so far gone.
Yeah,
and then I was like, "Is he just gonna like stare up at it?" And then he put his glove up. I was like, "You're kidding me!" Yeah. And I mean, it
looked like he skied it to me. That's what it was.
It just like on contact, it looked like he just hammered that ball. And maybe because I was partially expecting it, I don't know why.
Well, see, that's the one thing I wasn't expecting it last night. I thought once they got to
how do you not do that? How are you not like a PTSD Houston sports fan, like, you know, bad stuff happens.
Yeah, I do. But for some reason last night, I got the feeling all along when they got to Jansen, I just felt like, okay, they're going to keep taking punches and keep going. And when they got back into that bullpen, I just had a feeling somebody else was going to do something else. And if Davinsky had given up the tie and run, I think they'd have come back and gotten two more runs in the next inning. So it was a different vibe from them than anything I can remember from a Houston team. Because I always expect Houston teams to find a way to lose. Last night, I just thought, you know what? They're going to get this done, whether it's this inning, the next inning, or the inning after that. And that's the first time I've ever felt like that about a Houston team.
I wouldn't get used to it.
I'm not, because you know we'll see. The bullpen will lose a game for them at some point. I fear that. But no, I felt really good about when they tied it up, and they scraped out the run in the eighth, and then they get, you know, and then Marwin gets a home run. When they tied it up, I'm like, okay, they got something going here. They're going to get this done.
I think I'm sort of like you. Like you, normally, it seems like things that can go wrong for the Astros and the Puig play, like where he and make no mistake, Puig was not loafing.
No, no.
I know. Some people were tweeting about how Puig lazy players do lazy things.
Dude,
no.
he was all out for that ball.
That's everything he could give to get there. And he couldn't get there, which I mean it.
Yeah, he just missed and
but
everybody was talking about how lucky it was that the ball hit the umpire on the pickoff throw. Well, you know what else was lucky? When the ball comes off a guy's cap and goes right to the other fielder on what should have gotten a run home.
Yeah,
that was pretty damn lucky too, the wrong way. So I don't think there was anything too lucky about it.
Well, except if he wasn't standing there, the game's over.
Well, yeah,
I mean that's pretty lucky.
But it wouldn't have been if. Like I said, the ball didn't go off a guy's hat and straight to the left fielder. That run comes home, and then it wouldn't have mattered.
So, well, it's easy to say, but I mean that happened in what? What inning did that happen in?
It was. I don't remember.
It was early in the game.
But still,
this was like
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're going to tell me one thing's lucky, then I'm going to throw back to you that another thing's lucky.
Okay. Well, here's what I'll say about that though. There's a difference between luck, like where a dude's laying out to make a play, and luck where a guy does something completely boneheaded and is bailed out. Do you agree on that? Like, that's a horrible play by Devinsky.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's unacceptable in that situation.
That was awful.
And the first thing I thought was...
Yeah, I think I said it was Harris earlier. It was Devinsky that did it.
Yeah, it was Devinsky. The first thing I thought was, that was before he even threw a pitch.
Yeah.
I said, oh boy, I'm worried about his control here. And then, of course, he walks the first guy.
Yeah.
It's just that was...
No, it was dumb, but you know what? He got Puig on the pitch that he needed to and got out of there.
Yep.
And, no, I thought... I don't know that it was unlucky that Puig didn't get there. I mean, that was a long run.
That's good placement.
Almost made a great play, and that's the thing.
FABF, but that was a good hit.
But my point being that the Astros are always the team that almost they get the glove on it and don't make the play. And it's the same thing with the Texans. Like, oh, Will Fuller's wide open. He dropped the ball. I mean, that's been Houston teams. They're almost there in these big situations. Look at the Patriots game's a perfect example. You almost get an interception to end the game. You almost get a strip fumble on Brady, but it goes right to their offensive lineman. This was the exact opposite of that. That's what I'm saying. And that's the feeling I had that whole game once they tied it up. So there.
You're a believer.
I'm not necessarily a believer.
No, you're sold.
I'm not sold. I'm more confident after last night.
Well, absolutely. Because like I said, it's over if they don't win last night.
And that's part of it. But I also think, man, they're going to ride the wave from this a little bit, and it's going to be a fun weekend here at Minute Maid.
So you think they beat Darvish?
I think they beat Darvish. People are bringing up that with Darvish had the perfect game, but that was 2014.
Yeah.
So I'm not putting that hit through 8 2/3, I guess. So
that's the game I was thinking of. I didn't remember it when it was. I thought maybe it was last year, but yeah, 2014 is a while back.
936, Fred, you sound like a homer. Of course. See, I can't say any nice things about your stupid teams. Then it makes me a homer.
And if you say something at all negative, you're a hater.
Yeah. I mean, there's no in between. And you know what? 936, you can suck it.
It's all right.
I love being called a homer. Yeah, that's just
because this is Homer Radio.
Because I say something positive about a team that makes me a homer.
This is Homer Radio. This is the home of the homer.
Oh, God. I hate people. I really do. You're a homer. You're a dickweed.
No. I'm John McClain, in with Adam Clanton. This is Homer Radio. Enjoy it tonight.
That's not nice of you.
No, I'm John McClain. You don't have a Clanton in you?
No, I don't. I don't.
That would have been good. Who's another homer in town, Jong, that you can be?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, maybe it's not. We're not good at home. Oh, we have some here. I won't name. You're John Granato. You can be John Granato. John Granato's a homer, especially for the Astros.
Not for the Astros.
For the Astros.
Yeah. Oh, the Texans are going to go 16-0. Cowboys are going to be 0-16. That's a Granato take.
That is a Granato take.
Who doesn't? That's also a Granato take.
Yeah.
That's about all I got on John.
All right, guys. It has been a hell of a season for the Stros. And now we're here, guys, earning history in the World Series. The celebration continues at Academy Sports and Outdoors. All the Astros gear you need to show your true team colors from the first pitch to the final out. Academy has you covered on all your official Houston Astros World Series apparel. Restocked every single day. So whether you're lucky enough to get to a game or you're like me and hitting up a few watch parties, gear up and root for the home team as they continue to earn history. One of the best parts of the World Series is all the hometown love. And after the ALCS win, I went down to Academy, picked up some gear for my kids. The energy was amazing down there. It's so great that the Astros are bringing this city together. We're excited about cheering them on to the championship. So for all things Astros, make sure you stop by your local Academy today. That's Academy Sports and Outdoors, the official sporting goods retailer of the Houston Astros.